So you're leading the podcast, right?
Yeah, you did last week. That's why I was literally practicing the word irreverent.
Can you do it?
It's hard.
Irreverent.
You're not the one who had an impediment.
I have speech
So,
impediment.
irreverent.
Irreverent?
Irreverent. God damn it.
It's okay. If you fuck it up, we will not do another take.
I just call it irrelevant half the time.
Well, that's not the word.
Yes, it is. Because it is irrelevant.
We are incredibly relevant. We have tens of listeners.
Exactly. We have like two listeners, and those two are us. Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face, episode 75, an irreverent podcast about music news, music culture, and all the gubbins. So we have some albums this week.
We have names.
Okay, fine. I'm Sean.
I'm Dan.
Fucking ruin my groove. We have three albums this week. Lots of music. The Good, Bad, The Queen.
Those
Album.
aren't the three albums.
No, that's the name of the fucking artist. We have Anderson .Paak's new album, and then we have Mumford and Sons' new
Mumford and
album.
Sons' new album.
Which
We
I'm
have
gonna have to
takes
put
for
a, I
that.
have to put a disclaimer on,
We have
but.
electric takes for that. So definitely listen to the full episode. We're on video. We're on an interesting kind of angle here if you're watching, because you can't see if you're watching, you definitely can't see if you're listening, but there's a cat behind us and she won't move. So we have to. But show
Yeah.
must go on,
This is, we're
as
in
they
Mochi
say in
Studios.
Showland. And
Pip, 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 pip.
this is me cheating with new singles of the week, because I'm usually the one who picks new singles.
Yep.
Nevertheless,
I love
let's
it.
talk about it.
I love it.
It's been 14 years since MF Doom's Food came out. Legendary, one of the best rap
Oh
albums
my
of all
God.
time.
Food is just amazing. I love it.
Like, banger after banger after banger. Still holds up after, literally 14 years. And he collaborated with a cartoonist named Distorted to create an official visual for it after all these years.
The music video of One Beer.
Yes. Doom has one eye. He's drinking a beer with like a kind of hypnotizing eye in it.
And then he goes
There's
on a mushroom trip and everything. There's some anime
she's in
in
some like
it.
anime woman's house. It's interesting.
It's fun.
It's a nice album. It was a nice kind of thing to kind of, spice things up a little bit.
Yeah, it's fun.
I want to do programming announcements at the top of the episode really quickly. First of all, you can follow us on Instagram at AudioFacePod. Secondly, next week we won't be having an episode because of some news we'll be talking about a little bit later. So stay tuned for that. Not drama drama. But after that, we'll be having two episodes in 1 week, because one will be the 1975 bonus episode. One of the first
Makes me
episodes,
very happy.
surprisingly not one of the first episodes that we've had to re-record of AudioFace.
Yeah, it's one of the very few that we've had to
Yeah.
re-record.
This will be version two. Version one is lost to the annals of history. We'll have Meek Mill
Poof.
on that episode. And then December, I have a nice schedule that I've planned out. December 9th, we're doing the court packing episode, and that's when XXXTentacion's posthumous album is being released. We're not going to be doing that, but, and this is what I want to mention at the top of the episode, if you have albums that you want us to possibly consider for the Audio Face Awards, the court packing episode is the episode to do it. So that's when you should reach us out to us at Audio Face Pod or to our individual social media handles and tell us, hey, yo, like, what albums did we maybe miss that we should mention on Audio Face, so therefore we can, by the rules that exist, have them in the Audio Face
Yes.
Awards. Then we'll have one like final last Audio Face episode on the 16th, and then on
The
the 23rd,
23rd,
we will
2 days
release.
before Vinox Talk, Christmas,
We'll
we are
release.
getting so bleeped.
We're gonna have. We haven't had a No Chill Island in a while. It's probably gonna be the Audio Face Awards, so
The
look out for
entire
that.
episode, I'm gonna be like, Dan, you need like six combs. Landmines.
There's gonna be special music for it. It's gonna be awesome. Wait out for that. And
I'm just the hard R
there's gonna
this
be
that award is gonna it's so much bleepage.
And we're gonna have a little best of episodes that are gonna be kind of spreading out through January, because your boys need a break. But we'll be
Yes.
back in mid-January with, I think we're gonna have some Tori Moore in the opening episode.
Oh please. I love Fuckboy Ma. My
Yeah,
boy.
so if you like all this content that you're about to get, be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts 5 stars and share us with people and all the prerequisite things. Like this if you're watching this on YouTube, whatever. But let's get into the news. The thing I've been kind of talking about for a while, my like warpath, is that Maroon 5 should drop out of the Super Bowl if they want any black cred whatsoever. And so thousands of fans have signed a petition saying that, let me start a petition, because we live in a society.
Holy shit, apparently it has 30,000 signatures to get them out of the Super Bowl.
One of the most convincing arguments, there aren't really many convincing arguments in most of these petitions, I find, but it said, Maroon 5 has made music over the years featuring artists from all genres, including Rihanna, Cardi B, Kendrick Lamar, all of whom have publicly supported Kaepernick in his decision to protest the violent racism sweeping the United States. Maroon 5 should do the same. It has a chance to stand on the right side of history.
That's politics. So, hashtag no politics.
Great job. Let's from there get straight into some not politics. Let's get into some good, bad queen. That's like monarchy instead of politics.
Stupid.
It's a little different, right? Anyways, Maryland is
11 songs, 37 minutes long. If who knows, blah, 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 blah. Those who don't know good, bad queen,
they are
lead singer, I should say, front man.
Yeah. Is
the one, the only Damon Albarn, everybody's favorite. Sad Brit.
Yeah.
I think he's even more depressed than Thom Yorke at this point.
Seriously.
Like, damn.
Damon
Albarn's rough.
We have Paul Simon from The Clash.
Mm-hmm.
There's Simon Tong from The Verve.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy Allen, who I'm not completely sure where he's from, but he's like a popular Nigerian kind of musician. So Damon Albarn, we understand. You do indeed have black friends. We get it.
Damon has way too many black friends.
You can never have way too many black friends.
On stage at the Gorillaz concert, I'm like, I don't know Damon doing this many black people.
Yeah. I don't know if it's woke or performative. Anyways.
Who knows?
Yeah, so I think a lot of... It was interesting. At sometimes I could characterize listening to this album as like... almost felt like P-sides. Like some of these songs could have been on Plastic Beach. And then other parts of these songs kind of just felt like Damon's random meanderings to things that are trying to sound very...
Literally, it's so random, but it's super slow, and it literally feels like there's a black fucking cloud over your head when you listen to this album. Is that, I'm like, okay, maybe it'll make me sad.
Which is like, sometimes it's the kind of music that you can really be into.
If you're in that mood, for sure. The one song that I really, 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 really like, which is the last song, The Poison Tree. That song kind of goes hard. I like that. It's a little more upbeat. But the production, everything felt a little more experimental, and I really like that song. The rest just felt really kind of bland in a way. I don't know, like the
very
lyrics,
bland.
Nothing was popping out to me except the last song.
It's just like kind of Damon's melancholy drawl.
Yeah, exactly.
There were...
Like the production is great.
Yeah.
And sound is great.
Which you would kind of expect from these four, and...
Exactly.
Not
but
really
nothing,
that impressive.
Nothing that, oh my god, this is awesome in it at all, so.
Yeah, so it's got kind of this, I'm trying to describe the sound and get better, like describing the sound better, but it's alternative rock and it's kind of, as you would expect from these artists, but it's sort of trying to have this kitschy British kind of feeling to it. A lot of mentions in the lyrics, but yeah, it's just kind of meandering. And it's just like, Damon Albarn, just... Set on a beach somewhere. Stop making music.
Literally, that's what I was gonna say. I'm like, I need you to stop making music.
Just relax.
Chill. You don't need to release everything you make. Damon, relax. Do a Radiohead. Just take a break. Make a movie soundtrack in like 2 years. Chill. Even then, you don't know. Fuck that. You
don't
need
music.
I don't want you to do anything. You need to like go to the Virgin Islands, launder some money and chill.
Damon, I was gonna start a petition because we live in a society. How many Florida recounts are you going to give this album?
Florida recounts? What's good, what's bad? How do you...
The more recounts, the better. Don't think about it.
I was going to give I'm going to give it a 1 to 10 scale of that. So
you can have a maximum of 10 recounts.
Yes,
in
because Republican society.
Because we live in a society.
I want to give six recounts. Because the last song, if the last song wasn't good, it would be like 4 or 5 recounts.
I give this a flat 5 recounts. Actually, 4 recounts, that's 5 votes. Aw, Mochi.
Cat snoring
right now. She's
fucking
asleep,
out.
Which is hilarious.
You know who's not asleep right now is R. Kelly.
Oh, God.
Yeah, this dude needs to go to jail. he really does.
In this era where victims and survivors of sexual violence are able to talk more about their stories openly and they're actually kind of being listened to, especially in the entertainment world, R. Kelly's just kind of unscathed.
R. Kelly gives negative fucks. Gives less fucks than fucking Dead Mouse.
He warned the audience at a recent concert in Tampa that if there's anybody in here that feels they're going to be offended tonight, they need to leave.
Because it's about to get freakier than a mother.
Oh, man. Rape. Apparently someone said, when he got to Down Low, Nobody Has to Know, Kelly stepped all the way down to the floor of the pit, eventually kneeling out of view, completely surrounded by women, the Tampa Bay Times reports. Whatever happened down there, it ended with Kelly stumbling back at stage, missing a shoe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All I know is that people like the R. Kelly, are they really, like, wiping his face right now?
Yeah, he also, like, wiped his crotch. Or he lets his fans towel his sweat for him, and he, I guess, like,
this makes me incredibly uncomfortable right now.
This man doesn't have a cult. Oh, he's sticking his tongue out too. Yeah, this man doesn't have a cult. This man, it's so disgusting. Honestly,
he needs to go to jail. He has a cult.
Remember that drama we mentioned a nostalgic 10 minutes ago? About why we're not having an audio phase next week.
Because fucking Kanye is being Kanye.
Yeah, because Yandy is not coming out next week, as far as we know. Of course it wasn't going to come out next week. He went to Africa for, like, a layover. And then he came back to almost get shot by Tekashi 6ix9ine. More on him later. And he's... I forgot about that. Yeah, he's just kind of all over the place. I will say this. He moved, like, 3 credits up on the woke scale because...
The Candace Owens thing.
No, not the Candace Owens thing. No. Entirely different. So this is a story we did on My Other Life where there was a security guard who ended a bar fight and he had the guy who was starting the fight tackled.
Yeah.
And the cops came in and shot the security guard who tackled him. Kanye West donated $150,000 to his family.
So all right. Like, you were like down in the gutter, like for where 21 Savage is from.
I'm
from the gutter. And he's like up to like dirt level now.
Yeah. You're grave robbing, Kanye.
much better.
And now let's talk about Oxnard. No, not the area of California. Let's talk about Anderson .Paak. And Paak it up anyone who thought they were easily gonna win album of the year for like rap album. Cause this is for coming in so hard.
This is really good.
So, firstly, I want to ask what your opinions on it are, Sean, but I just want to get in before anything happens. I was right, funk is back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is like very like a funk-induced like kind of album, but what are your takes? What is you takes?
I take Perkin. No.
Woo.
I very much enjoyed this album. A breath of fresh air in the hip-hop world. Because to me, this is the first, you know, the genre hip-hop R&B, which doesn't fucking make sense.
Yeah, that's combined a lot, even in reward shows by mainstream outlets, not by us, because we're smarter than
that. This is hip-hop and R&B, if you want to put it in a fucking crate.
And not trap and beat, because that's been like a thing that I've also coined, smartly.
Yeah, so this is straight hip-hop, and it's amazing to hear, finally. Lyrically, production-wise, everything's cool. There's kind of a one skit where there's like a sex in it. I'm like, it's a little... Okay, you don't need to put that in there. But...
You could totally put that in there.
Nah, it's, I don't even know when you're jizzing. I'm good. Hard pass. Anyways, this album's really, really, really good. There's a couple things where he goes into gun violence and said, hey, we should have reformed, but it was too late or something like that. Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, get them AKs out the street, talking about how, like, politicians and stuff are bribed and everything, but, like, really sly about
it. You can miss it.
Yeah, the Love If We Made It style of, like, okay, let's get some wokeness.
Subliminal.
Yeah, exactly, subliminal. Not the, I'm gonna whine about things. No, this is just great music. You listen to the lyrics, you go, whoa, this guy's talking about super deep shit. the entire freaking album is that. Got some funk in it. There was one song that had a little trap snare.
Yeah.
But he's on the line of, it wasn't bad. It wasn't super prominent and normal like what everybody else has been doing. So overall, I very, very enjoyed it. I didn't know going in what it was going to be like at all. And very pleasantly surprised. This is a fucking good album.
Anderson.
Top to bottom. Yeah. Every song flows well. All the skits in between felt like an MF Doom almost. I love that shit, minus the jizz. all the other skits and everything in it felt great because it was transitioning from song to song and it felt like a Madvillainy almost of that. And overall, that's a really, really good album. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Breath of fresh air. We needed that in the rap world. Really needed that.
When I started listening to this album, songs 1 through 3, and 3 is Tense, the single
Tense,
that we heard.
Yeah, with Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, I kind of get where it's going.
I think that's the one with the jizz.
Easily the kind of funk and rap kind of motif could feel stale.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of switch up comes in Who Are You, where mm-hmm. like, legit, you almost feel in the middle of OK Computer if someone like got the recordings and started rapping over it, which is just very strange. And then from there, you go right into Six Summers, which I've had my friends, like, a lot of people send me like things about music just throughout the week, but a lot of people have been saying, yo, Six Summers is a banger.
It's a good song.
And I kind of love Anderson .Paak's confidence throughout the album, especially on Six Summers, because the chorus is, this shit gonna bang for at least six summers.
By the way, and all of the features on here are really good, especially the one I was surprised of was song 10 Anywhere featuring Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Yeah,
The Last Artful and Dodger. Snoop Dogg was fucking good on that track.
So,
like, a surprise. And also, J. Cole wasn't an old little bitch for once.
J. Cole was pretty chill. Q-Tips, Poppin' was
remember.
Not, it was Cheers. It was like, okay, it was a little bit of forgettable song.
Okay, just I literally don't
Q-Tip
remember.
Was like, he's very much in uncle rapper territory, but he's one of the better ones. Sweet Chick is a very, very interestingly done song. It's kind of like, and a lot of other rappers have tried to touch this motif of like, mm-hmm. I'm going to rap very quickly about all the women I've been with or sleep with or have a relationship with. And like, this is very, it's done in like a creative, nuanced, really deep way that again, like you can miss it subliminally, but it's really like smart and amazing. The first half of the album and the second half of the album, I haven't been this satisfied with like a first 7 and a second 7 in a while. Six Summers, Smile / Petty, they both do mm-hmm. that thing where like they kind of switch through the middle of it. And so that's just gotta be said with a general thing. Production is top notch. There's no, even the one song with kind of trap snare felt really intentional with it. So like I wouldn't even call it that.
It wasn't overbearing or anything. It wasn't generalized what everybody else has been doing with the trap snare.
What King Kunta was for 2015 or whatever that was, Mansa Musa is going to be for like 2018 or 2019. It's just like that kind of really energetic, like
I can see that.
I'm here, this is me song. Yeah, it's that. Really good. I did that entire thing. And like Mansa Musa down to left to right is just a masterpiece. And like I would say that just off of that alone. But the first songs, like the songs all above that are also amazing too. I think Savior's Road was also just like a great instrumental piece where you're just trying something different and like everything we complain about with trap being really dull and really boring.
This is the opposite.
They did that. And it's not just like hip hop in the sense where it sounds old or
it's
like
good. No, it's good.
It's fresh. It's new. You're doing like
you're
so
doing
many
something
of the
fucking
right
different.
I was not a huge Anderson .Paak fan before. Not for any particular reason, but just because the stuff he had made didn't like stick out to me an insane amount. He's been getting better and better through the years, and this is just like, this is, the Audioface Awards, especially for rap, just got a lot harder.
I'm giving this a solid 9.
This is 9 recounts and take it to the Supreme Court.
Take it to the Supreme Court. That's pretty good.
This is Gore Bush 2000. We're getting some precincts in from Cuyahoga County.
I'm pulling my plug right now. So Tekashi 69, everybody's favorite 69, is
not my favorite 69. I'll just put that on the table right now.
That was a joke. Everybody's least favorite 69. I should put that. Everybody's favorite man with face tattoos.
Imagine getting... Never mind.
No, I'm stopping you there. Fucking stop. Okay. He fires his whole fucking team and cancels his U.S. tours.
It's kind of hard.
It's kind of funny. Probably because he's got shot like 6 times.
Yeah.
Rapper like, Gangsta Delicious got shot. Again?
Again. Okay, so he fired everyone.
Like,
he did an Instagram video saying, if you're working with someone who says he's a Tekashi 6ix9ine, unless you're talking to me personally, he's not working with me. They're all fired. They're all gone. They'll steal your money. So apparently he really doesn't trust people. He feels like people are coming for him. And I would too, considering he's been shot at like 9 times this year.
Seriously.
Okay, oh my god, I had to stop myself. In the words of Maxine Waters, don't miss. Anyways, Tekashi 6ix9ine's fired booking agency accuses him of lying about the stolen money. So this is like their response.
Oh man.
According to TMZ,
he's gonna get shot.
A rep for MTA Bookings said the rapper's accusations were unwarranted. He denied that there was ever a $3.6 million concert deal, as Tekashi 6ix9ine explained on The Breakfast Club a little bit earlier, but this was simply a possibility. And I wouldn't be surprised if Tekashi 6ix9ine were confusing this shit around, because, I mean, he just wrongs everyone. Everyone seems to be upset at him, and I just can't understand why. He just seems like such a nice fucking weirdo.
He's gonna get shot.
He's so gonna get shot.
He's gonna get shot.
We're gonna,
Told you so.
Yeah.
Out of your face before the bodies are cold. And talking about
what people are here for.
Talking about dead bodies. Disclaimer. My least favorite band on God's green earth, God's flat green earth revolving around the universe itself, inverted earth, is Mumford & Sons. You think I hate trap? No. Nothing beats my hatred of anything in music more than Mumford & Sons.
However,
this is a podcast and I have to review their album. So I wanted to give you that disclaimer before I rip them a new album. Worse than XXXTentacion did, but what? Anyways, Delta from fucking Mumford & Sons. I'm gonna have to...
14 songs, an hour and 1 minute.
It was an hour and 1 minute too long. So,
I would like to jump in here before the hot take begins.
Go, because I'm literally thinking of what to say without just...
When I think of Mumford & Sons.
You go.
When I think of Mumford & Sons.
You think banjo, hipster,
Let me go. When I think of Mumford & Sons, what I usually think of are... skinny jean hipsters and banjos and a lot of that shit, where like it's just really drony. And it's not hating on Mumford & Sons fans, but if you like Mumford & Sons, you also find Missionary very like, you know, devious. You kind of find it adventurous. You're like, maybe I'll, you know, look at you the way the priests look at the boys. Anyways, so with Mumford & Sons, I really don't come to them with a place that, like, I really trust how their music is going to be. And I think it's going to be the same kind of, like, whiny, drony, you know, music for people who got married at 17. But, nevertheless, we went into this album with an open mind, and I hated pretty much most of it. I listened to all of it because I tried really hard, and I put Sean through a lot of trap, and I thought that for him, because he loves Mumford & Sons so much, I would listen to all this album. And
thank you, Jesus.
I really, kind of so you didn't have to. There are a couple songs I like. Rose of Sharon, we'll get to your opinion on it in a moment, but I think was a bit of a deviation from what they usually do, so I'll give them a point for being different. And then Darkness Visible is a very strange thing. I'll let you bring up some points about that because you've got takes, but I actually want to just
keyboard warriors are unite.
Yeah.
Armchair coaches everywhere.
Okay, let's go. Start with how you feel about the album kind of going in.
Oh, good God.
Because you stopped it Slip Away the first time you listened?
I think it was something like that. October Skies is Slip Away, whatever. I just couldn't. They literally made their normal music into pop. Everything I hate in the music industry, they made in a fucking album. I thought it was impossible, but they made their music worse. This is worse than Imagine Dragons' latest album. Which even fans of Imagine Dragons say it's dog shit. This one is like dog shit wrapped in cat shit.
You know how
about it is? It's a fucking synthetic CDL that crashed the stock market in 2007 bad. Actually, 2008. Like Lehman Brothers 2008 stock. This is how bad it is.
These are credit default swaps held by HSBC that were like used to hide the fact that they were money laundering for drug cartels in Latin America. Like this is really bad.
The CDOs that Goldman Sachs sold and then shorted in order to get money to pay the people that shorted them originally 2 years before.
Hashtag no economics.
I just got severely woke right there, by the
no
way.
No finance.
Lisa's gonna be like, I'm gonna give you like a hug for knowing this. Anyways, literally there is one song on this entire piece of dog shit wrapped in cat shit CDO called Darkness Visible, which gave me hope for the planet
this,
Earth.
Like, Triple D subprime.
Oh god. This is straight subprime. This is you are paying
Darkness Visible.
Yeah, anyways, Darkness Visible. They actually tried to change something in that song. Where they went experimental. They didn't do banjos. They didn't do really their lyrics also awful because it's always about love and this, but like this shitty hipster
I'm
love you get.
I'm
like,
not just jaded. It's
literally
like,
no, like the stuff you do when you're in high school, when you're in love with some stupid fuck who's going to end up being a drug addict and then like die apparently, but not die. But this is the oldest 10. Anyways, that song, Darkness Visible, they changed their sound. They made it kind of a weird spoken word for half the song. And I go, okay, what is this? Second half of the song, they just go into this instrumental thing that kind of sounds like M83 with Muse, where I go, whoa, they made something really good. Holy hell. Do I like Muppet or Sons? And then they go back to their normal shit.
I'm immediately
song right after that, they go into this weird pop, whiny type.
You know what? They honey dick you. Because Darkness Visible kind of like goes into If I Say. So it's like, oh, wait. Are they just gonna make a shift and like change the rest of the album?
That's what I thought. I was like,
whoa, what is going on here?
Oh my god. And then, and I just like put my head, I'm like, nope.
And so here's the thing. I kept going. I listened to Wild Heart, which is the third from the last song on the album.
And then you get the icing on the fucking cake.
Wild Heart, which is fine. And then Forever, which is like, oh god, what are you doing? And then
there's
Delta.
Fucking Delta! Delta!
Banjo
the banjo's
bullshit.
Back.
Banjo bullshit. Oh my god. It was back, and you knew it was hiding. They did a pretty decent job
what is
of keeping
worse?
The banjo out of it, but...
What is getting worse album of the year? This or Fall Out Boy?
Okay, don't get me wrong. Fall Out Boy was fucking disgusting. And I think Fall Out Boy is still a clear winner.
Actually, no. Like,
I physically
couldn't listen to Fall Out Boy.
I would be so fine.
I think I almost threw up putting my headphones on. I think I lasted, what, 15 seconds?
I haven't finished that quickly since... It was really a terrible album,
what?
And I don't think that went too long, actually. But I think that this album is really not one of the strongest ones of this year. The fact that I have to kind of apologize and really dig deep into it means it's not good. It has one or two gems, but like,
generic.
Then just release a single and stop.
It's so bad. Seriously, they look... I was about to say something really bad.
Okay,
you better be happy.
This album did not make it past the primaries.
This album got shorted by me.
That's not how elections work, Sean.
They do work like that.
Okay.
Because I made a new thing because it's so bad that I had to make a new thing in order to make it work.
You better make that shit work, bitch.
Okay. Anyways, it didn't get recounted and they ended by election fraud.
Okay. All right.
Happy now.
Yep. we always like to end audio face on a fun note.
This is going
to
be fun.
And... I'm just going to read the headline from Hip Hop DX, written by Riley Wallace, or their editor. Riff Raff reveals he's the victim of an extortion scam. Quote, you ain't getting no million off of me.
It's beautiful.
Fresh off the release of his album, Tangerine Tiger, Riff Raff took to social media to air out an alleged extortion plot. The self-proclaimed Peach Panther claimed that he's dealing with a $1 million scheme, which he's been hiding from his friends and family over the past 4 years. He's been extorted to a fake-ass lawyer running contingencies upon athletes and high-end celebrities who fall for extortion scams.
Just called idiots.
Yeah. Oh, God. Hours later, he posted another video of a necklace blinged out with multicolored stones and reiterated his intentions to not pay extortionists. I love diamonds, gold, and Porsches too much to ever forfeit my money to extortionists. Tangerine Tiger album out now. So this is really expert. I'm going to definitely turn the next time I get robbed into content, because I think that is the best way to shill whatever I am shilling.
Turn it into content.
Yeah. Because when you're getting extorted, or when you have a cat sleeping behind you,
shoot a little per meow.
Then you turn it into content. Thank you so much for watching and listening. This has been Audio Face 75. We have a great rest of the year for you. Stick around. Hold on.
The next episode is going to be so good.
We're going to have a bonus episode for you in a week and a half, actually. So
the 1975.
Remember to stick around.
We went from dog shit wrapped in the cat shit to getting paid out $1.3 billion money because 1975.
Sean's been looking forward to
all year.
This is what's been keeping him from
bad things.
Yeah.
Did he put them both fences?
Okay.
Found it.
Sean, thank you for doing this. You can be found on Twitter where?
At SW Suarez.
And you will use Twitter eventually. You can be found on Instagram at?
SW Suarez.
Because you are good at that. I am on Twitter at Dan from the Web and Instagram at Dan from the Internet. And we're on Instagram and Twitter at AudioFacePod. Again, please send us your music for the court packing episode, because while other outlets will be reviewing XXXTentacion, actually giving him the time of day, we're going to be talking about the people's choices, because we are the podcast of the people. So spread the word, send us your music choices, and
Give love to a forker. Bye.
Absolutely. Cheers.
Cheers.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, human.
Oh. We're gonna do that again.
Wow, literally a bubble.
Hot.
Pause.